Rising Above with Becky Davidson.
I think that would be my lesson. It's just I shouldn't have underestimated God, because, you know, God knew much more what he was going to do for Bradley than what I could imagine for Bradley.
Welcome to Rising Above with Becky Davidson, where we hear from special needs families who rise above difficult circumstances and discover that joy can be found in every story. Thank you for joining us. Here's your host, Becky Davidson.
Hey friends, I am so glad that you are joining us this week as we are continuing in our series here on the podcast called The Unexpected. And this week, I share a conversation with you that I had with my friend, Julie Steyer, on the unexpected lessons that we learn as parents of children with disabilities. Now, Julie has been a special needs mom for over 30 years, and she has lots of wisdom to share with us in this episode. Julie has been married to her husband, Tim, for close to 40 years, and they have two adult sons, Sean and Bradley. Her son, Bradley, is 34 and has special needs. So here's the conversation that I had with my friend, Julie Steyer. Hey, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your willingness to be on the show today and to share part of your story. And, you know, you and I have been at this journey for a little while. we have grown sons now, which is hard to believe that we have adult.
I know, that makes me feel really old.
I know, don't even go there. Yeah, it's kind of bizarre to think about having boys as old as they are now, but
grown men,
I know, that we have to shave and all the things. But I have known you for several years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have been part of the Rising Above family since pretty much early on when we first started.
Close to the beginning.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. And so tell our listeners a little bit about your family and, you know, who your special person is in your life.
Okay, well, I've been married to my husband, Tim. It'll be 40 years.
It's amazing.
This September. Yeah. It's hard to believe we've been on this ride together for 40 years. And we have two boys, Sean and Bradley. And Sean's my oldest. He's 36. And he's married to Jessica. And they live in Smithville. And he's an RN at the VA hospital right now. And Bradley is our youngest, and he was born premature, and he has cerebral palsy and an intellectual disability, and he has to use a wheelchair for mobility, so he doesn't walk at all. He's still able to stand a little bit and weight bear, but he's in his wheelchair pretty much from sunrise to sunset. So, and then our family has recently grown, too. We have a foster daughter now that's 20, so she's out of the foster system and into ECF Choices, and we are what's called an ECF Family Model Provider. She has a mild intellectual disability, and she lives with us. And then my 84-year-old mom also has a little cottage on our property, so she's been there for about 3 or 4 years. Yeah. So we have a busy, happy home
For sure. Well, anybody who lives in Cookeville knows Bradley, because Bradley is a celebrity here in our town. You know, it's amazing. You see him out doing so many things and a part of so many things. And so he's quite a remarkable man.
Yeah, most people just know me as Bradley's mom.
Of course. I'm so, John Alex's mom. That's how it goes.
And that's how I love it. But Bradley is very outgoing and very full of life and very just happy and, you know, out there doing whatever he can do.
Yeah, so he's all about living the life, his life to the full, and doing so many amazing things. And so I know you said he was born premature. And so tell us that story.
Okay.
And what that was like for you.
Well, I had Sean already. So he was my second pregnancy. And Sean was about 2 when Bradley was born, a little over 2. And I was having a normal, healthy pregnancy with Bradley. And I walked every day. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't even want to take a Tylenol. I was so careful. And then one day I was laying on the couch with Sean getting a nap, because it was, you know, 6 months or so into my pregnancy, and I was tired and my water broke. And
Did you say you were 6 months in and your water broke?
So I was 6 months into my pregnancy and my water broke, and I wasn't sure what to do. So I called my aunt because Tim was working, and back then we didn't have cell phones,
so you couldn't
get a hold of people. And my aunt had had a son that was premature, so I called her, and she recommended her doctor, and we went in, and they took me straight over. We lived right on the border of Pennsylvania and Ohio. Well, the closest neonatal unit was actually in Ohio. So we had to go over to Youngstown, Ohio, into the neonatal unit. And we went over there and they examined me and everything was looking good. And I never went into labor. So back then they really weren't sure. And they saw Bradley's lungs were really still not developed and he was really small. So since I never went into labor, they just kind of let me go. I had to stay in the hospital for 3 days and they checked for infection and then they sent me home on bed rest. And then a few weeks later, I went into labor and then I had Bradley.
So you would have been what, six and a half?
He was about eight and a half weeks early. When he came. So he was born on November 7th and he was due December 31st. Yeah. So he was really early and he wasn't able to breathe on his own. So he had to be on a ventilator. And he was on a ventilator for 2 weeks or so. And that was really rough because I had to go home. I couldn't stay in the hospital because I had Sean at home. And then I had to drive back and forth to Ohio to see him. And I would go 2 times a day and he would cry and you couldn't hear him because he was on a ventilator. And they had him back then. They laid on their bellies. Mm-hmm. You know, now they have him laying on their back. So I could put my hand in and tap his back and touch him. And I was so afraid that I was never going to bond with him. You know, I couldn't hold him and do the things that you can with the baby. And then he was on oxygen for about a week or so, and then finally to room air. And they told me he had to get up to 5 pounds before he could come home. Mm-hmm. And he got up to 4 pounds and 15 ounces, and they let him come home. But he did come home on a heart monitor for bradycardia and a heart monitor for 6 months. And because he did have both sleep apnea, like, you know, apnea and bradycardia, where he would stop breathing and his heart would stop. So it was kind of scary because we had to have that monitor. And it was actually more scary when he got off of the monitor,
of course,
because I would go in the middle of the night and check on him. But Bradley had severe colic and didn't sleep much. So most of the time I didn't have to worry because he'd be
up anyway.
For 6 months. But he was, so it was hard and we didn't get a diagnosis. We saw that we knew that there was some brain cell loss. They did an ultrasound of his brain while he was in there and they could see some brain cell loss. But they didn't know exactly what it would cause. So they just kept saying developmental delay, developmental delay. And then my aunt, she had gone to Shriners Hospital in Erie. And so she told me maybe they would have an answer. So I went up in Erie, Pennsylvania, and they sent me to a different neurologist up there. And then they did a different type of a CAT scan of his brain. And they diagnosed him with cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
So, but he was about almost 18 months when I finally got the diagnosis.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sure all those emotions and all the things that were going on in your heart as you know he was born premature, you know, and I'm sure you're wondering, what is this going to look like? And so, what was that like for you as, you know, as a mom? You already, you know, you have Sean that needs care. You've got Bradley who needs care. Mm-hmm. And so what was that like for you?
Well, it was different. I was confused because I didn't really know that much about cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, I was kind of relieved that, okay, we have a diagnosis. This is what we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Now let's find out what we could do for it. Because I knew there was something wrong and they kept saying developmental delay, but I had seen Sean develop typically and Bradley couldn't hardly hold his head up. He was so floppy. He couldn't sit. I knew there were things that were more than just developmental delay.
Right.
But Tim my husband was kind of more in denial. He just kept thinking Bradley's going to catch up.
Right.
No worries. Bradley's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. He's going to catch up. And he never really was upset. I mean, got that upset about it. I mean, we both were like, okay, this is what we've got and this is what we got to do. So, but we did have a lot of negativity coming back in all different ways, you know, and we weren't sure. And you start thinking of all the things that Bradley's not going to be able to do.
Right.
You know, and
all the what ifs and all that,
yeah,
you know,
and the confusion. But you know, I was able to say, okay, this is what we have. We got CP. I didn't know about the intellectual disability then, you know, until later on. So we just did the best that we could.
That you could in the moment. Yeah. So we're in this series here at the podcast about the unexpected. And so this episode is about unexpected lessons. And so what I'm excited about you being on this episode is because, you know, you've been doing this with Bradley for 34 years. Yeah. I've been at it 26 years. And so, you know, there's lessons that we've learned along the way and things that we might do differently now, knowing what we know. You know, it's always that, you know, if I knew then what I know now, you know, I might would do things differently. Right. And so when you look back to how you responded to his diagnosis, is there anything that you think you would do differently now that you're all these years down the road compared to how you responded early on?
Yeah, I would, I guess, just trust God more. You know, back then, I mean, you're just in the moment of it. And, you know, you didn't know what was going to happen for Bradley. And some of the doctors, and one doctor told me, well, look at him now. If this is all he's going to ever do, you just need to come to grips with this. This is what you have. And I really wish that I could go back and show him everything that Bradley has done since then. You know?
Like, don't tell that to a young parent as they're in your office, you know, dealing with the diagnosis. Yeah.
And so, you know, I think I wish I would have just trusted God more and just not worried as much because so much time I wasted, you know, worrying and not knowing. And so if I would have just turned to God a little bit more and trusted him more, you know, then it would have probably had less grief.
Yeah. But you probably had so many circumstances over the years where you saw God show up time and time again. And so that obviously builds that trust.
Definitely.
When you have that you know, relationship and to have those things that show up in your own personal story. Because it is so hard. I just, you know, I remember early on just being so fearful and so afraid because we didn't know. You don't know what the future is going to hold. No. You don't know. No one does. No one does.
Nope. But and I didn't have nobody else in my family that had a disability. Mm-hmm. I didn't have friends that had children with disabilities or, you know, special needs. So, I mean, my one aunt, she had a son that was premature, but he ended up being fine, you know, both intellectually and physically, other than he had hip perfies, where I think he had to go in and do some hip things with him as he developed, and he was kind of small, but other than that, you know, he developed pretty typically, and he was only 2 pounds and something when he was born, and Bradley was 4 pounds, but you just never know.
No, you don't ever know. And I know it's so isolating, especially in those early years, you know, when you, like you said, you were by yourself, really didn't have anyone to talk to about it. And so, you know, what's I think is so hard is, you know, you move from those early years of, you've gotten the diagnosis, you're dealing with all the emotions and all the things that come along with that. You're starting therapies, doing all those early intervention kinds of things. And then it's time to go to the school system. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, it was like, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, I can't wait till my child goes to school. And I was like, oh, I don't want to put my child who is nonverbal into this situation where I don't know what's, he can't tell me. I don't know what's going on. And so how was that for you, sending sweet Bradley, you know, into the school system in those early years?
Well, we were fortunate that when in Pennsylvania, where we were when he was really little, he started going to school at 18 months old. So I would drop him off for like 2 hours, two times a week, and they would give him all of his therapies, and then he would interact with other kids. But then when we moved to Colorado, there was a special needs school where all of the kids there had special needs, and he had to ride a bus about a half an hour away, and he was like 3. And that was so hard. Yeah. I remember putting him on that first day and just crying my eyes out. But the school was wonderful. They had everything there. They had a swimming pool. They had aqua therapy. I mean, the therapy services he got were wonderful, but it was very, very scary. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to think back and remember the first actual IEPs because they all kind of blurred together. But I think those early experiences helped me when I got into the regular school system. And we moved around a lot with Tim's work and stuff, but we were in Colorado when Bradley started school.
Yeah.
So
I know when I got started and we were doing the first IEP and just, you know, we sat at this table and it was all of his therapists mm-hmm. from early intervention. So we have, I mean, and he had vision and he had OT, PT, speech, all, you know, all, they're all there. And then all the new people who were coming in and this principal and the teacher, and we're in this room and it's got a very big table that is, I mean, it's full of yes. people. And how overwhelming that felt to know all these people are here meeting because of our son who's coming into this new setting and what this is going to look like. And I remember Jeff used to joke, he went around the room and he said, well, here's his new PT, his old PT, his new OT, his old OT, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Defense. You know, it felt like we had this yes. whole big cabinet of people that yes. are part of this meeting. And I know it's so overwhelming.
They can be overwhelming yeah. and everybody will be on their computer and their yeah. notebooks yeah. and you come and you're just like, okay, oh, who's going to say what next?
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, it's important for us to be there so that our
Absolutely.
Voice can be heard because nobody knows our kids as well as we do.
So when you look back, is there something in your this years that he was in school? Because he's been out of school for a while now, just like right. John Alex has been. Mm-hmm. But what are some things you felt like you got right when you were dealing with the school system?
Well, I think I was present a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would bring in cupcakes yes. or food yeah. or do the class parties mm-hmm. or go on the field trips. I was really blessed that I was able to stay at home when my kids were young, you mm-hmm. know. So Tim worked and I was able to stay at home. And then when Bradley got a little older, I started subbing in the school system. And I subbed in Bradley's room a lot because they had a hard time finding
yeah.
subs for special ed teachers. So I was able to be there a lot. And I think that was helpful because they got to know me. I got to build those relationships mm-hmm. with the teachers and the therapists. And, yeah. You know, I would send them handmade little gifts, let them know that I appreciated
yes.
them because I wanted communication. Because Bradley couldn't tell me. Mm-hmm. I would come home and he could talk, but I would say, what did you do at school today? Had fun,
yeah.
you know, I mean, and he wouldn't be able to. So we'd have a note system with the teachers, yeah. which was really good. I'm sure mm-hmm. you had that too,
yeah.
where they had a little notepad that would come back mm-hmm. with notes. And I think just building those relationships and being mm-hmm. present as much mm-hmm. as you can yeah. is helpful.
Yeah, that's know? I would say the exact same thing. I mean, for me, it was, I always wanted them to hear me. I wanted to tell them thank you. You know, like mm-hmm. every day I made sure
yes.
that they knew I was grateful that they were there helping my son.
Right.
And you know, what I know anytime that someone shows gratitude for anything that I've done, you know, that just builds you up and it makes you want to
right.
do more things, more encouragement, all those things. And so I know it makes an impact just like it does for us. And so I think that's so important to, you know, and then when things happen, because they're going to happen,
mm-hmm.
they're going to happen in school. But then when you do have to go in with an issue, you haven't been in there griping and all, you know, all finding, right. nitpicking every little thing. When you find things that you can be grateful for and thank them for how they do care for your right. child makes all the difference.
And it's not easy. Taking care of Bradley wasn't easy. I mean, he had to be lifted out mm-hmm. of his wheelchair, put onto a changing table, changed. Sometimes he would leak through on his clothes and you would have to change his
right.
clothes and he would need help with feeding. So, I mean, I saw it at home, what it was like.
Right.
So I was really appreciative mm-hmm. of what they did
mm-hmm.
and they did a good job. I was
yeah.
really lucky to have really wonderful teachers that made a huge impact on Bradley and some of the assistants too. He still talks about Miss Willette, and she rode a Harley and she lived when we were in Florida
yeah.
and she would make Bradley try everything when they go to the cafeteria and she would say, just try it. You don't have to eat it, but if you try it, maybe you'll like it. And Bradley loves broccoli, cauliflower, all kinds of vegetables mm-hmm. and food that he probably never would have tried mm-hmm. at home, you
yeah.
know, but she was wonderful. So sometimes those, you know, they'll yeah. listen better to a teacher than they will their own mom.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I'm sure looking back, there's lessons that you've learned
mm-hmm.
and maybe things you would have done differently. Is there anything that when you're looking back over his time in the school system that you were like, I probably would have done this one a little bit differently?
Well, I don't really have a lot because things went pretty well for Bradley. I guess sometimes, you know, when they were aging him out of his therapies mm-hmm. and stuff, I wasn't really sure if he was right. really ready, but mm-hmm. you know, they sometimes their caseload gets so big right. and if they get to a place where they think they're not really benefiting mm-hmm. from it, they're like, oh, we graduated him right. from speech, right. you know, and we, and if I would have maybe advocated for him mm-hmm. a little bit more to get some of those services, but like when he was wanting to go to Independence program, it's program in college mm-hmm. that they have here for our kids that are 18 to 22. They're like, well, I don't think Bradley can go to that because, mm-hmm. you know, the bathroom's not accessible. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why don't we see if we could work something out, you know? Mm-hmm. So I brought in a little porta potty and they into the bathroom because his wheelchair did not fit right. into the bathroom. They used to meet at Tech Village and so they would lift him and put him on there. And when he was younger, he was little, but now he's gotten big as his yeah. metabolism has gone under. I mean, God, it's not as good. But, you know, we found a way. So for the first year, he would go 2 times a week and they let him try mm-hmm. it. And then they saw how well he did and mm-hmm. how much he loved it. And he was able to do the other things. And then they had a wonderful nurse there that taught him how to use a portable urinal. And I didn't even know about that. But then that way you didn't have to lift him out right, of his wheelchair. Right. And he never usually had a BM except mm-hmm. at home, you mm-hmm. know, so that worked out much better because then they didn't have to lift him. And yeah. then the next year he went all 5 days. So, but I think if I wouldn't have pushed, then yeah, they would have said, happened. Okay, he yeah. can't go, yeah. you know, so.
Well, you said that you and Tim have been married going on 40 years, which is yes. amazing. Congratulations on that. And so when you look back early on, you mentioned a little bit about Tim was like, hey, he's going to get, everything's going to be great. Mm-hmm. You know, the denial part that right. goes along. But how did it impact your marriage when you're dealing with all the stress in and yeah. out of the hospital, you know, early on probably with him, you know, how did that impact your marriage?
Well, yeah, with the beginning of our marriage was harder with that. I mean, we had kids kind of quickly and, you know, and then we moved with my husband's business too.
That's a
and
lot. So I didn't realize you'd moved that
starting,
much.
Yeah, we started yeah. in Pennsylvania, moved to Ohio, back to PA, went to Colorado, Missouri, Florida, and then here. Now we've been here for 22 years. Yeah. So this is like our home here in Tennessee. But the moves are stressful too because then you have to find out all new therapists, mm-hmm. all new schools, all new services. And so, I mean, it was, and you always have growing pains at the beginning right. of a marriage anyhow.
Of course.
So, but we did good. And I think the glue that held us together was Christ. We were both Christians mm-hmm. and I was a newer Christian than Tim, but he wasn't that much further behind me. Mm-hmm. And so if we didn't have that faith to hold us together, I think it would have been a lot harder, but mm-hmm. It got easier as the years went yeah. on because we'd be, you know, found our strengths right. and where we can do better. Like yeah. Tim was better at some things than mm-hmm. I was and taking care of yeah. Bradley and Sean. And then we just grew as a family.
Yeah. So what yeah. are some of the lessons you learned about navigating the special needs journey in marriage?
Yeah, I think just sticking together as a team, you mm-hmm. know, and even if you disagree, you have to have a united front, yeah. you know. So there were times when, you know, even things like conservatorships as they get older and, you know, Tim worked all these years to build Bradley up and have him be independent, not wanting to take those rights from him and me thinking we should, but you had to come mm-hmm. to, you know, an agreement and have that united mm-hmm. front. And then just, you know, helping to educate each other about different things and just being there for each other, mm-hmm. loving each other, trying to find a date night every mm-hmm. once in a while, if you can. And, you know, it's just, praying together, mm-hmm. just keeping going yeah. and just encouraging each other.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you've got Sean, he's been a great big brother. I've seen them together over the years and how they mm-hmm. interact. And it's just always been so beautiful to see the friendship and that the two of them have.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the things that were impacted, you know, with Sean when Bradley was born, and how did you guys navigate, you know, the needs of Bradley versus the needs of Sean?
We'd like to take a moment to celebrate some amazing heroes in the special needs community. We're talking about the siblings. You know, the extra responsibilities they face, the flexibility they must have, and the sometimes missed memories are just a part of what it means to be the sibling of a child with special needs. For that reason, we created a fun event for them called The Sib Show. We'd love for you to check out this free download for the special needs sibling in your life. You can find it at risingaboveministries.org or on the Rising Above app.
How did you guys navigate, you know, the needs of Bradley versus the needs of Sean?
Yeah, it was, you know, hard at time. We made an effort to not leave Sean out of things and to make special time because I knew he would feel neglected. And last night at church, I knew I was going to do this, and I pulled him aside and asked him, you know, what was that impact on you as a kid, you know? And he said, well, you know, Mom, he said, it was hard sometimes, especially when Bradley was little and he had to have surgeries. He was in a full body cast 2 times and had to have multiple surgeries on his legs. And we had all the doctor's appointments and surgeries and we couldn't be with him all the time. And he said, it was hard because sometimes it always seemed like it was always about Bradley, always about Bradley. He said, but I was just so thankful that you were at home and that you were able to be there for me when I needed you and you could drive me to all my sports and different things. And so Sean loved sports. He loved to play baseball and soccer when he was little, then football in high school. And we just always made an effort to make sure we were at every game if we could and support him. And you know, he turned out pretty good. Yeah. So he was a peer buddy in high school and he would always stick up for the underdog and any kids that made fun of someone with special needs, he would almost get in fights in school over, you know, because, and now he, I mean, he's gone on mission trips into different countries and here in our country, and he's a nurse, an RN, where he helps take care of people. And so it's just kind of that nurturing nature. So I think God used that with Bradley to build even a better Sean, even though there were times that were
rough. Really hard. But and everyone has their trials in the sibling relationship, and the special needs journey just adds in different dynamics, you know, but everybody has their things that they have to deal with.
Sean also accepted Christ and became a Christian at a very young age, and that helped him too. You know, we were always involved in a church, and he always had youth groups and different things to help keep him focused too on the real thing. And I think that faith comes in through our family, through all of us, you know, and that kind of helped us through the growing years.
Well, when you look back, what is something that you're like, okay, we did this right? Like, this is something we did and we're like, this was the right thing to do.
Well, I think just like I said, always trying to be there for him, making special time to go do things, taking him to all of his games, cheering him on, making things for him. And I always tried to keep an open house where he can have his friends over.
That's great.
You know, so it wasn't all just about Bradley. So sometimes his friends would come over and I'd wake up the next morning and the whole gallon of milk would be gone and all the frozen pizzas. And, you know, but I always welcomed him and his friends in the house
because
I wanted to have them feel valuable and just allowing things like that and trusting him and putting my trust in him and letting him know how much I love him. So. Yeah.
Is there anything you would have done differently looking back now after all these years?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't. Of course, you can always do better. So especially with the surgeries and the little things. And, you know, I probably, if I could have prayed with him more, you know, and sat down and explained things better to him. Because some of the time, especially early on, you know, we were going through a lot. And the surgeries were hard. The one time they cut through all the muscles and like in little tendons in Bradley's legs and cut out pie-shaped wedges out of his bones, and he went through muscle spasms where he would just scream, and they warned us about him, and he wouldn't eat, and he lost so much weight, and he was 3 years old and a full body cast.
Oh, bless.
And all I could do was focus on Bradley, you know. And then I wished, you know, if I could have just trusted God to get us through there too, you know. But I think we did okay. I'm sure I could have gone back and done better, but
look at you guys now. I mean, like, and Sean now is a nurse, you know, he's caring for people. And I suspect part of his relationship with his brother played into his desire to be grow that nurturing, caregiving peace in him.
Yeah, he always helped take care of Bradley, you know, and he still does. He's our respite worker. So if we ever do get a little break away, which isn't very often, then Sean's one of the only ones that can take care of Bradley because Bradley's a big grown man now, and he weighs about 200 pounds and, you know, he's hard to maneuver around. And so Sean and Jessica take care of him for us when we do get that little breakaway.
Well, you know, I think one of the biggest things that when you have a child with special needs and disabilities is that the impact that it has on your relationships with your extended family and just your friends. And so, how have you seen that play out in your life? What's been some of the impacts that that's had? And then what are some of the lessons that you've learned about relationships with friends, relationships with extended family members as you're, you know, dealing with all of the things you deal with as a mom of a son with disabilities?
Yeah, well, some of the relationships were surprising and really good. Like I kind of expected my dad to take it bad. My dad was like a perfectionist and his businessman and everything was perfect and, you know, his life, but he was very accepting of Bradley. And so that was really, really good. And then there was others in my life that were more negative and that was really hard. I'd had some even say to me that maybe it would have been better if Bradley wasn't. He didn't make it because they didn't know, you know, but then once they could see Bradley's life, when you first see this little baby, and he was a little scary when he came home, he had all these monitors hooked to him and he was a preemie and we didn't know, we knew he had problems, but we didn't know for sure how bad it was going to be. But I think, you know, we just stuck with it. We took Bradley everywhere. And that's one thing I think that's really been helpful is we've included him everywhere we go. Take him when we would go bowling. He would go bowling. We bowled him bowling league. Bradley would be in a stroller or when he'd be in his wheelchair. Everybody knows Bradley at the bowling center now. Yeah. And, you know, we would go to family. Now, some families' homes aren't accessible. So that's been.
That's always a big thing. Yes. You know, when you're trying to go to someone's home and you get there and it's like, how are we going to get in? You
know? I know. And so now, you know, we had to figure out whose home was more accessible. Yes. Some of my families actually built ramps. My brother, Jeff, first thing he did when he bought his house, he built a ramp. And so Bradley can get into his house. Yeah. And so Bradley, and he built another ramp to get out onto his back porch. And, you know, I have other of our homes where we have little portable ones that we've built. And but some of our friends did step back because they weren't, well, I don't know if I want to deal with this. Yeah. But then those aren't the friends that you should really have. And we've made tons of new friends in our little disability or special needs world. And those, you know, are some of our favorite people. So
you've got quite a good, solid group of friends,
yes,
I know, that and community that you guys do life with. And so
we're really glad that we moved and chose to move here in Cookeville. It's a very supportive community and there's lots of things there and support systems for people and families with special needs.
Yeah. Well, you've talked some about your church experience and about how important your faith is and church. And, you know, you talked about even running into Sean at church this week. Yeah. So I assume you guys all go to church together.
Yes,
and so,
we do.
But I know that over the years, just for all of us, when we're living this life, that church can be, there can be times that things are really hard and maybe places that are not as accepting or accessible to our family. So what's been your experience in relation to church and what are some of the lessons that you've learned over the years?
Well, we have had some churches that we've gone to that haven't been as accepting of Bradley, but most of them are pretty good. We're fortunate that Bradley can sit and kind of be quiet in church. So taking him to church with us isn't difficult. And now that he knows the Lord, he listens and he praises the Lord and sings. And but some of the times we've had some churches that they don't have space to put Bradley with his wheelchair, you know, or they have it way in the back where Bradley can't see and participate because he does have some vision issues too with his CP, his eyes kind of drift, you know, and it's harder for him to focus back. So I think we just had to ask sometimes, you know, and is it okay if we move him here? Or is it okay if we've done that? And most of the churches have helped us with that, you know. So I think that would just be my suggestion is just to not be afraid, you know, to ask. But, you know, Bradley, and let your child be an impact on the others, you know, because so many people have come up to me after a service and said, boy, I just, Bradley brought me to tears, you know. And I remember the day Bradley accepted Christ, we were at church and we had our head down. We had a guest speaker and he was praying and he said, okay, everybody bow your heads. And then he's like, okay, if anybody starts going through the plan of salvation, wants to accept Christ today and needs you to be brave and raise your hand. Well, we didn't even know. Bradley raised his hand. Mm-hmm. And so, because we had shared Christ with Bradley for years, but never knew if he totally understood it, you know?
Yeah.
And then he said, okay, now I need you to be brave and come down front. And we heard Bradley's wheelchair go on and he's backed up and then he went down front and he bawled the whole way down. I don't think there was a dry eye in church. And Sean was in college then, and he was sitting up in the college group up front, and he went with them and prayed, and our pastor prayed with him, and he accepted Christ that day. And then he told Keith we were going out at Bangham Heights then, and he told Keith that he wanted to be baptized. Well, the baptismal there is very hard to get Bradley in, so he did creek baptism in the summer. So he said, do you want to be baptized in the creek? And Bradley said, yeah, that would be great. So he invited his bus driver, and his bus driver came, Mr. Brown, came with his wife. And they came and watched Bradley be baptized. Two men carried him out into the creek and baptized Bradley, and he cried the whole time, but loved every second of it. And now, I mean, he listens and loves the Lord. He raises his hand and he cries to the songs, and he'll tell me the message has convicted him. And but he brings so much joy to other people around him because he's so emotional.
He is one of the most tenderhearted young men I know. And it's so sweet to watch him, like at our worship nights at Rising Above. Yes. And he just, it's so beautiful to see him. And I love hearing when, like, your experience of being the acceptance. And, you know, that's the same for where we are right now. We go to a really small church. And when John Alex, when he makes his noise, I'm always like, oh, if we're going to be bothering people. But every time people come up to me after church and they're like, oh, I just love hearing John Alex worship. Yes. And I'm like, thank you, you know, because it just is beautiful. And I think we have to be brave and let people into our story too.
Right. And let them enjoy our kids, you know, and not worry about them being perfect because God made them just how they
are. Just how they are. Yeah. It's so beautiful. Well, I know, you know, a lot of people will be like, okay, you need to do self-care and you need to take care, you know, do all these things. Go get your nails done. Go get your hair done. Take a vacation. And I sometimes just want to go, okay, are you going to come take care of my child while I do that? Are you going to, you know, all the things? So, but I think it's more for us. I mean, for me, it's more soul care. Mm-hmm. It's more doing things daily that are going to give me the strength that I need to do whatever it is I need to do today. So what does that look like for you?
Well, I'm not much into going and getting a manicure. I do go get my hair done now and then. I think I've only had one manicure in my life other than it by the brook. I had a few. But, you know, now that I'm retired, I do a little bit more of that. But, you know, it's just finding time. I love to read, just finding time to read a book and getting some quiet time. Or like when I read and I try to pray with God, I try to find a quiet spot in my house.
Now where's your quiet spot? You were sharing with me before we hit record your quiet spot.
Yeah, so if it's before everybody wakes up, it's my kitchen table. But then once everybody comes up and the house is a crazy, like it always is, I end up in my bathroom because that's the only place that I can go. And so I've actually turned my bathroom into a little mini prayer room. So
I love it.
I put a padded cushion on top of my toilet seat and I sit there. I have prayers up on the wall, pictures of people that I pray for. And sometimes I'll read in there or sometimes I will pray. And it's, you know, everybody knows to leave mom alone when she's in the bathroom. And so you got to do what you got to do.
I was going to say, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And it's not, and I'm, you know, it's not your usual place to have quiet time, but it is a place where nobody bothers me and I can shut the door and just have it be quiet so that I can read and can have a little bit. Sometimes I'll paint my nails in there or whatever, you know, and no one will bother me. So,
you know, like you said, got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
That's so great. So what are some other things that you, what are some lessons that you've learned over the years when you look about, you know, that soul care and self care for you?
Well, I think trying to stay connected to other moms and other women has been great. I've always been involved in different, either church or up north, Christian Women's Club was really big and we would meet and have prayer time and Bible studies. And, you know, just having that time to connect with other women is really important too, to have some friends outside. And we have down here, we're lucky because we have Rising Above that has events for moms and there's lots of moms that we've met through there. And then even just getting involved in the sports, like in structured mm-hmm. athletics yeah. and taking the kids, you make friendships through that mm-hmm. and you watch your kids and you meet other moms that have, they're in the same boat as you
right.
are, you know, and other dads, whoever, you know, mm-hmm. we get together as couples sometimes. And, you know, I think that's important, is to keep those connections
yeah.
with other people
yeah.
that you have things in common with.
And we are really blessed here because we have so many different opportunities for us to be with others who, you know, are like our families and to share those experiences together. And a lot of our kids have grown up together.
I yes.
mean, we've done life together over the years. And so yes. it's a beautiful thing to have that community. It's so important.
Yeah. And they still have that friendships that they've built.
Absolutely.
We get our kids together and they'll go bowling or they'll mm-hmm. do different things. And that's really important for them, especially once they're out of school.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
absolutely.
Know, so.
So what would you say to a young mom who's just starting out on this journey, or a new dad who may have just received a diagnosis?
Well, I think the first thing is that it's not the end of the world.
Mm.
That's how it kind of felt for us. You know, you just didn't know, and you just felt so, I don't know, you were shocked maybe,
right,
and just,
right.
you know, because you don't know. And so, but there's going to be tough times and confusing times. And, but just remember, there's also going to be really amazing mm-hmm. times that you're going to have. So if I could go back to what I was then and I could just have a little flash screen of all the things that Bradley would be able to do mm-hmm. that I never would have thought was possible. And so I think just trusting God
yeah.
and that really realizing that he has a plan for your child's mm-hmm. life. It's not your plan, you
yeah.
know, it's God's plan. And that just remember that I wish I could have worried less, that worrying doesn't help at
yeah.
all. It just makes you sick mm-hmm. and it really doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
It's not going to make things any better when you sit and worry about it.
No, it's so hard, especially early on.
Yeah, just trying to trust God mm-hmm. and realize that he loves your child even more than you do and that he's going to make a good plan for you.
Yeah. So, you know, if you look at your life, what is something that you think that you may never have understood if you had not been Bradley's mom?
Well, I think Bradley has helped me just to see how awesome every day can be.
Mm.
He looks at the world differently than
yeah.
I do. So, I mean, he's thankful for every little thing. It just is amazing. When he was a little boy, I remember he would say stuff like, "Mommy, who bought me this shirt?" And I would say, "Probably Mommy." And he'd say, "Thank you for my shirt, Mom." And I would think, here's a little boy that can't walk, can't run. He's in a wheelchair, has to be pushed everywhere.
Beautiful.
And he's thanking me for the shirt that he has on his back. I mean, that's how he has been. He sees the world differently. And he's helped me to slow down and see some things that I never would have seen.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have known some of the things I wrote down here that Bradley has done that I would have never known. So he doesn't walk, but he's been up to the top of Pike's Peak. He spent the night in a ghost town up in Colorado in the mountains with the Boy Scouts with Sean. And he swam with the manatees in Florida. They put him in an inner tube and let him put his feet on top of the manatees as they swam underneath his feet. He's been snow skiing in Michigan, tubing in Tennessee. He rides the Wild Eagle every time we go to Dollywood. He sang for 4,000 people with God's Angel Choir. Mm-hmm. Remember when
yeah.
they did that? I mean, who would think this? So, and now he's going to be going, we're going up to Indianapolis, and he'll get to go on the Indianapolis 500 track and do a race with Ainsley's Angels.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
in May, and he can't wait to do that. And he's also had a film made about him. He's been on the news twice. And so he's a movie star.
Yeah.
He'll give him his autograph.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
So, but he wears us out, and he's an adventurer. But, you know, those are things that I would have never, ever experienced. Who would have ever imagined that this, when Bradley was a little tiny baby with all these tubes in him, mm-hmm. that this is the kind of life he would have left. So, you know, he's just shown me things. And if I wasn't a mom of Bradley, I never would have saw those things.
So beautiful and so true. And I love that so much about our boys. You know, John Alex is the same way, just that he has a smile on his face
yes.
almost all the time.
Yes.
He's happy and joyful. And I'm like, I want to be like that,
yes.
to be happy and content regardless of my circumstances.
Yes.
And to regardless, I mean, he's nonverbal. He can't ambulate on his own. He, you know, all those things. And yet he is just happy and content with the small things. And it's like, oh, I want to be like that.
And how many other people that look at him and he makes them happy too.
Yes.
You know, so he spreads the joy. And, you know, that's how Bradley is. Yeah. He spreads, hey, buddy, how you doing? He calls everybody buddy and wants hugs from everyone. Yeah. And
how blessed are we?
Yes.
How blessed are we to get to be the mamas to these boys?
Definitely.
Wow. Wow. So, well, you know, we've been talking about unexpected lessons and unexpected things that we've learned. What do you think is the biggest unexpected lesson that you've learned?
Well, I think that my expectations weren't correct. That was the biggest thing. I think when I said this, my biggest lesson was that I had it wrong at the beginning. I thought that having CP and having an intellectual disability was something very negative in Bradley's life, and it was going to prevent him from doing all these things. But, and it has prevented him from doing some
things. Of course.
But it has opened up so many more opportunities in his life that never would have been available, you know? So God was good. He knew what he was doing when he created Bradley, and he knew what he was doing when he gave him to us, you know, in our life. Because he's had and been able to do so much more than I could have ever imagined, you know? So, I think that would be my lesson. It's just I shouldn't have underestimated God because, you know, God knew much more what he was going to do for Bradley than what I could imagine for Bradley. So,
I mean, I think, you know, I see Bradley and I see what a full life that he leads and just what a joy he is.
Yes.
So it's a joy to get to be part of his, you know, his life and see him and be at different things at the Exceptional Bean and at the Rising Above events. And so,
He loves his job. If I don't say that, come see him at the coffee shop. He works on Thursdays if you're in Cookeville from 10:30 to 1:30. And he will say, welcome to the bean. So he's the greeter and loves his job. So
sweet. Well, Julie, thank you so much for taking the time to come share part of your story and some of the lessons that you learned that maybe were unexpected on this journey. And I know we have many more lessons to learn.
Oh, definitely. It's still a work in progress. I don't know. Can I share one of my...
Absolutely.
I have a scripture that has helped me a lot. And I know a lot of you probably know this, but it's just to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think I haven't trusted in God all through the years as much as I should. And I'm getting better at it. And God's just been really drawing me in with my prayer time and my reading. And then in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Mm-hmm. And that's from Proverbs 3:5-6. And I know that's a really good scripture for a lot of people, just to trust in God. And then you can't trust in your own understanding because we are so limited, but God is limitless, you know.
So true.
He really knew what he was doing when he gave us Bradley. And we just thank him for Bradley every day and for Sean. That's what I don't want to leave him
of
out
course.
Now either.
Yeah, of course.
And Brianna, I have a great family, you know, but Bradley is the one that we're talking
about today. That's right. Well, Julie, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I can't wait to see more adventures that Bradley goes on.
Okay. Thank you for asking me to come.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Rising Above with Becky Davidson, created and produced by Rising Above Ministries. To learn more about us and our resources for special needs families, visit risingaboveministries.org or download our free app. If you've enjoyed listening and want to hear more, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. You can always share it to encourage a friend. And remember, joy can be found in every story.